This is a Voyascape podcast. You can find all of our travel podcasts from around the world at voyascape.com.
Imagine lounging on the pristine beaches of Hawaii, sipping a Mai Tai and soaking in the breathtaking views of the Pacific, all without the hefty price tag. What if I told you that your dream Hawaiian vacation could cost you almost nothing? Join us in this episode as we unravel the secrets of travel hacking with points and miles, featuring an in-depth breakdown with DeAndre Koch, who will guide us through the nearly free path to a luxurious Hawaiian getaway. Discover how the right credit cards, strategic spending, and a bit of planning can unlock the doors to paradise. Don't miss out on mastering the art of turning your everyday expenses into the trip of a lifetime.
Welcome to the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast with DeAndre Koch, brought to you by Boldly Go. Beyond being the founder of Boldly Go, DeAndre has a deep expertise in financial planning through owning his own financial planning firm. This finance background has provided him unique insights, enabling him to navigate the travel landscape with ease and is considered a renowned travel hacker. On this podcast, we're all about assisting adventurous travelers and budding explorers in tackling their travel hurdles, teaching luxury travel hacking strategies, and highlighting the busy professionals that still find time and ways to get away. Expect travel tips, unforgettable destination stories, and guidance on maximizing your rewards points. Whether you're a seasoned traveler or just starting out, join us in exploring the best of global travel and become an expert luxury travel hacker yourself. This is your journey, but our revolution in the world of travel.
Welcome to the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast, and I'm your co-host, Taryn Gisbert. So today, DeAndre will be breaking down a point strategy for Hawaii. Why don't you tell them what you have in mind?
Yeah, so today's episode is really about showing you a nearly free path to a luxury four-night stay in Hawaii for at least two people for around what effectively will be about $200. And so this trip would realistically, at minimum, be around $4,000. So immediately there's going to be some savings here. And quite literally, from the time you listen to this episode, you could be in Hawaii in like 12 months or less. So what I'm going to do is we're going to break down exactly what cards to get, how many points that you want to earn, exactly what hotel to stay in, and also how to find the deals and how to find the searches. Now, something to note is that this was actually posted to our blog a couple weeks ago. And so on there, we actually have a full breakdown. We have screenshots. We have all the different things that you need. And so, you know, for those that already listen and follow us and for those that get our newsletter, they could have already taken advantage of some of these dates. So I don't know if the dates are still going to be available, but the concept will still be there. So make sure that if you don't already, you do sign up for our newsletter on our website because you get insider access just like this.
Okay. Well, here's a question that I feel like I hear a lot. Where do you start?
Yeah. So one of the things I'm going to mention here, so the lens of this episode is more so for someone completely new to the points and miles, you know, that travel hacking game. This is something that a more experienced person could probably learn something from as well, but this is going to be a little bit more on the basics side of things. And so just a few basics to break down, right? So, you know, points and miles basics are all about A, finding the right transferable card, B, earning the points, and C, transfers to partners. So a lot of what we talk about here is not going to be anything like mind-blowingly new, but I am going to get very, very specific on quite literally what you want to do, how to do it, the time frame to do it, and how to execute on the strategy.
Awesome. All right. So later in the episode, you plan to break down step by step what a solo traveler or a couple of people using two-player mode should do. But starting from the beginning, what cards are you thinking are the best?
Yeah, so I've got three cards in mind, and these three we'll put in the show notes so you can actually learn all about the cards. And a little shameless plug here, I would request if you listen to us, if you follow us, if you like the content, that you consider signing up through the link that we're going to have in the portal, in the show notes, and because that's going to help us support the podcast and the content. Some of what we do is when you do sign up for a card, we actually get affiliate marketing or affiliate rewards ourselves, and that helps us support the channel. And just so you know, we do make sure that we filter out the best points, the best cards, the best recommendations for you. And so if you go direct to different websites, whether it's Amex or Chase, whatever it may be, like I've mentioned in previous episodes, someone's getting a commission, someone's getting paid for you, even if you're signing up directly through Chase. So if you like the content, like what we put out, just consider sharing with us. So the three cards that I have in mind, the first one's going to be the Chase Sapphire Preferred. And I think this is going to be a really, really effective one because this is one of the top and most recommended travel hacking cards, travel points and miles cards in the game. The basics of it, at least as of right now, is you can get about 60,000 points with the sign-up bonus if you spend $4,000 on it or $4,000 in the first 3 months of having it. So if you spend $4,000 in the first 3 months of having it, you're going to get 60,000 points right off the rip. It's going to provide you with 3x points on dining, 2x points on travel. So if you on average spend $200 a month at dining out, just naturally, whether it's bars, restaurants, you know, whatever it may be, McDonald's with the kids, that's going to translate to about 600 points. So 3x, 3 times $200, 600 points. And the annual fee for it's only $95. Now, I know that's not a huge annual fee. It doesn't have a lot of the big perks and rewards like the Chase Sapphire Reserve, which is personally my favorite card, but it's a very good starter card to have. And it also has other perks like built-in trip insurance, right? If you're flying somewhere and your flight gets straight up canceled, you actually can get reimbursed for like hotel stays, food purchases, rental car, all sorts of things, and that's included. So that $95 annual fee, don't worry about that at all because you're going to get that. And those points alone, you're going to get way more than $95 worth of value from that one. The second card is going to be the Capital One Venture X. So this one is actually, if you're familiar with the Chase Sapphire Reserve or the Amex Platinum, those are the more the prestigious travel cards and reward cards. This one's going to be Capital One's version that's up there. And so with this one, you're going to actually get 75,000 points with their sign-up bonus, and that's if you hit $4,000 of spend in 3 months. You get 2x on all purchases, so no matter what, whether it's dining out, whether it's travel, whether it's golf lessons, whatever it may be, you're going to get 2x points. And that one, its annual fee is $395. So one thing I, again, want to say, don't be scared by that. You're going to get that value back tremendously, especially because the first 100, or you actually get $100 credit towards pre-check and global entry. So if you don't have that right now, if you're one of the people that, you know, when you go to the airport, you're staying in the long line, you're taking off your shoes, you're pulling out your laptop, this will pay for that for you, or even better, which is pre-check, or even better, global entry, which includes pre-check. And that means when you get back into the country, you don't have to wait in the long immigration line. You get to go to a kiosk that looks at your face and just lets you pass. And I've never personally waited more than like 67 seconds for that myself. And I know, Taryn, you've been with me all the times as well. And we breeze right through immigration. In fact, we're usually, even if we're not the first people off the plane, we're usually the first people waiting for our bags to come through.
Yeah, it's probably the only downside is that you just get there to wait for your check bag sooner. But I think that's a pretty big plug, actually. So it is a really big plus when you're traveling a lot to not have to go through those really long lines when you get back into the country.
Absolutely is. Yeah, absolutely is. So, right. So $100 towards pre-check and global entry, and then $300 annual travel credit that you, if you use it with the Capital One portal. So if you go online through Capital One and book a hotel through their travel portal, and that hotel is $300 for the night, all in, let's just say, you're going to get that $300 back on your card. So that's a effectively going to make the card free between the pre-check and the $300 a year travel credit through their portal. And then the last card is going to be the City Premier. This one's not really talked about too often. I'm not going to get into the weeds too much with it in this episode. We do talk about it in the blog more, but it has 60K points sign up bonus for $4,000 spend in the 3 months. And this one's actually pretty interesting because it's going to give you 3X points, whether it's restaurants, supermarkets, gas stations, and travel. So, Taryn and I always talk about this again for new listeners. I'm a financial advisor, very credentialed, own a wealth management practice. I always talk about responsible spending. And so make sure that the $4,000 spend that we talk about, that you're not just going out, you know, willy nilly just to hit that, which we're going to, you know, chat about a little bit more here in a second, but please be responsible with the spend.
Absolutely. All right, so you've identified a few cards to go after. I think I have two of the three. After you figure out the cards to go for, what's next?
Yeah, so next is very simple, right? We want to earn the points strategically. The first priority is we want to hit that sign-up bonus. And again, that should be with everyday spending. So it can help also if you plan when you apply for the card, when you get the card, around big upcoming expenses if necessary. So if you know that you've been planning on buying a piece of furniture, or you know you need new tires for your car, or whatever it may be, that can be really helpful to make that easy. But if you know just in general with your family that between gas and groceries and kids' activities and all dining out and all the other things that you guys spend 2 to 3K a month that can very easily be put on a card, all you have to do is just do that on that one card over the next up to 3 months and you're going to get that sign-up bonus.
So what you're saying is that there's no unnecessary spending required?
Exactly, right? So this is not worth going into severe debt over. You know, you want to make sure that you plan accordingly. And after that, the next step is essentially we just need to budget our points, right? So just like we would create, and a lot of times I have clients create financial budgets for points, you want to budget your points and figure out how much you need.
Yeah, but how do you do that? Like, what factors actually go into planning your points budget? Like, how do you do that?
It's a great question, right? So there's a few different things. You want to think about where you're going to stay. Where are you flying from? How many people are going to go with you, right? It's going to be much easier if it's a scenario like you and I, where it's just two of us. It's going to be a lot less points needed than if we were bringing, you know, two friends with us, or we had kids to bring with us, right? So that's going to be a huge example. For the sake of this breakdown, we're going to focus on Hyatt hotels, and very simply because with Hyatt, it's very well known that you get way more bang for your buck. In the blog, we actually have a chart where you can see the different levels of Hyatt categories, you know, 1 through 8, and the number of points required for them versus similar stays with like Marriott, and how much more points are required, especially for their top tier properties. So we can actually get a lot more value in a very nice place for a lot less points, which is why we're going to focus on Hyatt. Now, again, for the listeners out there, there's a lot of different ways we could do this. This is not a one size fits all as far as you have to do it this way. But for those that want more of a technical breakdown, which I know we've received some feedback, they said, hey, we want to hear like specifically what you should do or how you could do it. This is a really great example that we're about to break down as far as how you can get to Hawaii.
Absolutely. So I love Hyatt properties, but how and where would you suggest staying?
So there are three that I would point out for Hawaii. There's the Hyatt Regency Maui Resort and Spa. I've stayed there. It's a beautiful, beautiful property. It is probably one of the craziest things about it is like the general swimming pool for everyone, not just adults only, but for everyone, is like 12 feet deep in places. So you actually can like buy floats and such. The pool is probably, I mean, it's a really amazing property in a lot of different ways. They do a luau there. I mean, there's a host of cool things, but I mean, how often do you go to a hotel where the giant pool, I'm talking about like a resort size pool that's shaped and has waterfalls and all that, gets to 12 feet deep? Kind of crazy. Anyway, tangent there. There's the Grand Hyatt Kauai Resort and Spa. And then there's the Andaz Maui at Wailea Resort as well. So the Hyatt Regency and the Grand Hyatt, those are actually going to be Category 7s, which is the second best category. The Andaz Maui is a Category 8, which is the best. So for a Category 7, it's going to typically take around 35,000 points per night during kind of the regular season. But if you can find off-peak dates, which we have some of those highlighted in the blog, it's only 25K points per night. With the Andaz, it's 45K regular or 35K off-peak. So if we just assume, hey, let's stay at a Category 7, let's stay for 4 nights, and let's get 4 nights that are off-peak, so that'd be 25 points per night for 4 nights, 100,000 points is what we're looking at. So in this strategy, in this breakdown, 100,000 points is all you're going to need to stay in Hawaii for 4 nights.
Awesome. But what about flights?
So to be fair, this is probably going to be one of the hardest parts because it's not as cut and dry, right? Because if you're flying from California, it's going to be a lot easier than if you're coming from, you know, Tennessee. So you're going to want to use search engines out there. There's one called Roam. There's Points. Yeah, those are free. They do have paid for versions as well, but you can probably find what you're looking for free. Seats.aero as well, A-E-R-O. That is also out there that can help you to find these free flights. And so one of the things I want to mention, which is going to be a big deviation from what you and I usually talk about, is that we're going to plan on economy just for this audio, just for a teaching point. Now, realistically, I know if you and I were doing this, we're flying business class to Hawaii, but it's a lot harder to plan around business class. There's a lot more points required. I think it takes a lot more strategy. And so I think just from a teaching point today, to talk through points to keep things very simple, we're going to talk economy class, but I'm going to talk a couple things on the business class side of things. So for Chase, if you have the Chase card, that will actually transfer to United and Iberia. And the reason why I mentioned that is because economy flights to Hawaii, various parts of the country I've researched, whether you're flying from the West Coast or even JFK or Chicago or whatever it may be, can be 25 to 30K one way per person. And then Capital One transfers to Life Miles, which is Avianca is the airline, but that is 23,000 points one way per person. And United, Iberia, Avianca, they all have partnerships with, whether it's American Airlines, whether it's, again, United, whether it's different airlines that we have domestically in the U.S. So although you're transferring your points to an airline that you probably have never flown before, you're still going to actually be on either a United or a Delta or American Airlines flight for the most part. So that is one of the interesting things, is also you could sometimes even find as low as like 10K points, right? So in a perfect world, 10K economy flight to Hawaii, but let's just assume that's probably going to be around 25K. Now, business class is usually going to be more like 80K, right? So as you can see, a lot more points, although 50 is possible. So, you know, one of the things I want to point out is part of this guide, part of this episode today, which I know is a very technical breakdown. So if you're here for the stories, I apologize. This is one's more of a technical breakdown. But, you know, I always talk about only using points if you're going to get at least 2 cents of value per point. So realistically, I know we're talking about a nearly free Hawaii experience. If you find a flight that's $200, $250, and you feel like, hey, cash flow wise, that's not that expensive, I can do that, that might be make more sense than you spending a lot of points. I would much rather you spend $250 than 25,000 points. Quite honestly, I'd rather you only spend 25,000 points if your flight there is going to cost you $500 or more, as an example, with that 2 cent kind of rule. So we're going to basically say, hey, assume per person 25K points each way, right? So if you do the math on that, that's about 100K total points that we are going to that we're going to plan around needing.
All right. So we got 100K points for the hotel and 100K points to fly. So 200K points total, correct?
Yep, that's correct. So 200K points, 100K for the hotel stay, 100K points to fly. That's going to be our points budget that we just talked about earlier.
Hey everyone, this is DeAndre Koch interrupting the episode real quick to let you know that if you want to travel in style and luxury, thanks to travel hacking, here's an amazing opportunity to learn how. I've partnered with Lux Travel Hacks to offer you a special discount on their in-depth online course. It busts common myths, teaches the basics, and even has advanced techniques that surprised even me. Imagine exploring ancient ruins in Italy or sipping cocktails on a Polynesian beach and traveling there in business or first class, all for less than you'd pay for economy. This limited time offer saves you 50% and you even get bonus content that's not available to the public. You also get access to the private Lux Travel Hacks Facebook community where you can grow even more in your travel expertise. Click the link in the show notes and use the code BOLDLYGO at checkout to take advantage of this huge opportunity. All right, now back to the show.
Okay, now we have our budget. Now what? Like now, how are we going to do it?
Yeah, so there's two ways to do this, and actually there's a lot of ways we can do this, but I'm going to break down kind of two strategies. One is going to be two-player mode. That's going to be the first one. So two-player mode, just as a refresher, is if you have a scenario like Taryn and myself, right? So like with you and me, you know, we both have our own cards, we have our own strategies, and we can kind of pool our resources and strategies to make it work, which makes things easy in a lot of ways. So we're going to talk through that first, but if you're the person listening that you're like, hey, it's just me and, you know, I want to do this, but I don't want to go myself. I want to bring a friend with me or my husband, my wife, so-and-so, they're not really about this yet, but I think if I can get them to come with me on this one, they'll be about it. Either way, if you're, whether you're two-player mode like we are, or you're a solo traveler booking for two people, I'm going to have the breakdown for you as well. So two-player mode to start. Partner A. You're going to start off and you're going to get that Chase Sapphire preferred. And again, without any unnecessary spending, I want you to go ahead and spend $4,000 over 3 months and you're going to get 60,000 points. Now, one thing to note is you're going to also get points on that $4,000 you spend. And if you spent it on things like dining and travel, you're going to get, you know, 2 or 3X on it, but minimum, you're at least going to get one, right? So at the end of 3 months, if you spent $4,000, you should have 64,000 points, very simply. Next, you're going to refer your travel partner, whether that's your significant other, whether that's your friend, whether that's your buddy that you're trying to convince, whatever it may be, you're going to send them your special referral code for the Chase Sapphire Preferred. That's going to get you 15K points when they sign up, right? So now you went from nothing to 79,000 points just like that. Now, they are going to do the exact same thing. They're going to work over the next 3 months, spend the 4K, and they're going to build up those points. Now, ideally, if you have the same household, right? So if you guys live together, you could just start using one for 3 months and then switch to using the other for 3 months. If your partner doesn't live with you, they have their own life and own expenses, you don't have to wait the 3 months. As soon as you get your Chase, you can refer them to get one themselves, and you guys could be doing this tandem very easily. So basically at the end of all that, whether it took you 6 months or you both did it over the course of three, you should have around 145K points, if not more, right? So that's a good place to start, 145K points. What we're going to do is we want to start searching around 8 to 12 months out for Hyatt availability. Right. So there's details in the blog for that. You can also, there's a points calendar that you can use on the Hyatt website. There's a website called maxmypoint.com or rooms.aero. Either way, the goal here is to find the off peak dates. So at least as of this recording, the first week in September was an off peak week in Hawaii, which means 25K points per night. So what you would do is you would go to Chase for Ultimate Rewards online. You would transfer your points to Hyatt, and then you would have this huge point balance with Hyatt. One of the things I do want to remind you, though, is point transfers are one way, right? So, you know, don't do this assuming that, oh, you know, I'll eventually do this. If you only want to transfer the points when you know that you have something ready to book. So point transfers one way, not reversible. And I know you're probably thinking, well, if we have the points split between two people, how do we do that? Well, Tara and I have actually done that ourselves, right? So, you know, I think for the Maldives, I booked the first night, maybe first two nights, and then you booked the next three, right? So you used your points, you booked the end of it, I booked the beginning, and then we simply emailed the hotel and said, hey, can you join this booking together? So, you know, you experienced it, right? We didn't have to go check out, check back in, nothing like that. They had us all in the same place.
Yeah, it was really simple. I thought they were going to make us go through the whole rigmarole, but they were just able to very easily put it all into one reservation.
Very simply. So once you find the nights, you know, you're going to book the hotels. And one thing to note, though, although the points aren't reversible, you can actually cancel typically within 72 to 24 hours before and get that refund of points back to your Hyatt account. So let's say something comes up or whatever it may be, and you have 100,000 points you just transferred over. You know, if you need to cancel before the trip, you can actually move those back into your Hyatt account and book something else in the future. So although it's not reversible, the points aren't completely blown if something's come up.
All right. Well, this is a little different than how we do it sometimes. So we're going to book the flights after the hotel. So what next?
Yeah. So I know usually I always advise like, hey, book the flights first and then book the hotels. But this one I'm actually doing in reverse specifically because it can be really hard to get award availability with Hyatt, especially in places like Hawaii and such, and get there off peak. So that's why I said you want to start looking 8 to 10 or 8 to 12 months out. So after you know you have the points, look 8 to 12 months out in order to book the Hyatt stay. And then from there, you can look around finding the flights that make the most sense for that. Now, when finding economy flights, it's a lot easier than finding business class. I think, you know, you and I, if we were going to do the business class route, I would probably do the reverse. I would look business class first to really try to find a steal of a deal with low points. And then we would go ahead and book the stay. But in this case, I'm trying to keep the least amount of points available for people to spend so that they have more points that they can do other things with as they continue their points and miles, you know, life going forward. But yes, flights. So now we have the hotel booked, right? One person, so partner A or B, doesn't matter, opens the Capital One Venture X card. Well, that one again, 75K points if you spend $4,000 in 3 months. But this one gets you 2X points on everything. So really, all you have to do is spend about $12,500 in 6 months, right? So averaging a little over 2K a month, and you're going to have 25,000 points, plus the 75K you started with, so you have 100K points, right? We already did our points budget. We knew we needed about 100K points in order to secure this booking. So next thing we can do is then use those search engines to find the flights. Why that's important is a lot of times point availability actually opens up closer to the date as opposed to farther out. So your two best windows are like 11 months out or more when you're looking at points, or you know, a month or less before. So I wouldn't say to go and try to like stress yourself out and wait till a month before. Start looking. And if you don't find what you're looking for, don't worry. It can get more and more availability in the future. So you would want to just see, hey, does it make more sense maybe to transfer to United? Does it make more sense to transfer to Avianca? Whatever it may be. But that can be how you transfer. Make sure you confirm availability. So if you use the points, or whatever it may be, and it says, hey, this is available, you're going to want to actually go and create an account with that airline. Like they're, you know, the same thing with Life Miles is Avianca, just like American Airlines is AAdvantage. You want to create a free account and go in and search to make sure that's available before you transfer. Don't transfer assuming it's available and you haven't checked yourself.
Absolutely. So what about a solo traveler booking for two people?
Yeah, so this is going to be very similar, but slightly different. So we'll start with the same Chase Sapphire Preferred. We're going to get that 60K points to start with. After 90 days, which is the typical amount of time to get the sign-up bonus and the typical amount of time you should probably wait before applying for a new card, you're then going to apply for the World of Hyatt card. And that one, we didn't talk about earlier, but that one gets you about 35,000 points if you spend 3,000 in 3 months. Now, the reason why we don't talk about this one too much is because your points are only tied to Hyatt. These aren't transferable points, and we usually talk about not getting a co-branded card. But in this, some scenarios, it really makes sense to, and this is one of them. So by doing this, just between those two cards, you're going to already have 100K points, essentially, with Hyatt. With Chase, and then you can move those points over to combine them with the Hyatt, and then you'll have 100,000 points, and you can book the Hyatt again 8 to 12 months out, and then the next is to focus on the flights, and that's to do the exact same strategy we talked about before with the Capital One Venture X. You would get that card yourself, rack up the points, and then use those points to transfer to an airline that you could use it with.
All right, well, so what's the bottom line here? Like, why would all of this be worth it?
So if you stuck with us through the episode this far, and I haven't completely lost you, it's simple. Just do the math. So these same flights for 20 to 25,000 points are around $850 round trip per person, right? So the same rooms that are 25K per point or 25K points per night off peak are $624 per night. So the total flight cost would be $1,700 round trip for two people, and the total hotel cost would be almost $2,500 for four nights. And so that means you're outlaying almost $4,200 in cash for this trip. Now, for some people, they might say, hey, that's not terrible at all. Like, that's a nice trip. Well, we would do that in cash. Well, that's completely fine if that's the way you want to go. But let's look at what you actually would have paid. So instead of paying $4,200, what did you actually pay? Well, you do have to pay some taxes when it comes to using points with flights, and that's usually around $15 per person each way. So let's call that, you know, $60. Then the Chase, you know, you have the $95 annual fee on that, and you're going to have to pay that. So that's $95. Multiply that by two if it's two-player mode. Capital One Venture X has that $395 fee. However, again, I'm going to call this an effectively free card. It's not actually free, but effectively free, because you get $300 in annual credit for booking through the Capital One portal, right? So assuming you use that credit and assuming you use the TSA PreCheck credit, this card pays for itself, especially in the first year. And if you did go the World of Hyatt card, that was $95. So worst case scenario, you're either paying for two Chase Sapphire Preferreds or one Chase Sapphire Preferred and one Hyatt card. Either way, $190. So however you want to split it, you spent $200 to get over $4,000 in benefit, and that's just the start. And I know probably just listening, if you're in your car, you're driving, it probably sounds like, hey, this is super complex. I actually have it, again, broken down. We have it on the blog. You can see the steps. You can see screenshots. It's not as complex as it sounds. It does take some patience. It does take being organized a bit, but it's not as complex as it sounds.
And it's hard to argue with those numbers.
Yeah. I mean, if I said, hey, with a little bit of effort, you can go to Hawaii. It's going to cost you $200 roughly and stay at a very, very, very nice resort. Would you do it? And I think most people would say yes.
I think so too. Any other final thoughts?
Yeah. You know, really, this is just the basics, guys. You know, episode 3, we talked about the bare minimum use of points should get you about 2 cents per point of value, like I mentioned before. That realistically means if you were going to do this, 200,000 points should get you minimum $4,000 of value. Now, I know this was a lot of steps, a lot of work, a lot of effort, but if you had that same 200,000 points with Amex or Chase and you just went through their portals, at best, you would have gotten $2,000, maybe $3,000 worth of value, right? And this here, you're getting minimum $4,000. Now, I want to point out, ideally, if, you know, Taryn, if it was you or it was me, if it's 200,000 points, realistically, I'm trying to get like 8, to 20,000 of value for that same amount of point travel points, right? I want to blow that 2x number out the water. I want 10x, I want 15x, something better than even 2. But if you're just starting out, this is a really great place to start. And again, to get that higher value, usually it's because you're using business class, you're using a ticket that's $3,000 or $4,000 or $5,000 per person, you know, each way. But like I mentioned before, it does take a lot more time, a lot more research to be able to find. So that's one thing. And then also, there's other ways you can really elevate your experience. We talked about this in previous episodes, but if you worked on obtaining Hyatt Globalist status, then this same stay you'd have would have came with a room upgrade. You might have been able to apply for a suite upgrade. You'd have free breakfast for you and your family every single day. Right. So, I mean, a lot of those things can really elevate your stay. So the great thing about points and miles and this type of travel is as you start to get accustomed to it, I know it sounds complex early on, but as you start to do it and then you start to figure out the type of travel that's big for you and important for you and your family, and you start learning how you can climb the statuses and the places that make sense, you can really take something that's so as simple as, you know, flying to Hawaii and staying for 4 nights to a really incredible experience for you, your significant other, your family, so on and so forth. And so this is just one way to do it. I wanted to leave you today with this episode, give you something actionable, show you how you can do it, just because I know once you do, you'll be hooked. And if you do happen to do this, reach out to us, let me know. We want to hear. We want to hear how the journey is going. If you're starting, you said, okay, DeAndre, we're going to start with this. Reach out to us. DM us on Facebook or Instagram or through our website, whatever it may be. And if you need help along the journey, please, we're here to revolutionize it. So we want to make sure that you can take incredible trips yourselves with you and your family. And this is so, so, so doable. You just have to be able to follow the steps and sign up for the newsletter, because you would have gotten this information a few weeks ago to be able to start working towards already. So you would have had a little bit of a jump start.
So I have one question. When are we going?
That's a great question. I think we've got to figure out how that's going to fit in after, Cozumel, Vegas, Bali, Maldives again, probably something else, a wedding to plan. So, yeah.
All right. It goes on the list. I got it. I just wanted to make sure that also any of our listeners know that, you know, we have not both all been to all the places. So if you've listened to this episode, you might be getting to Hawaii probably before I will. So I'm jealous and I do want to hear about it. So reminders, if you enjoyed this episode today, be sure to follow us on all of the social media channels and sign up for our newsletter, as well as to get early access to information just like this. Like DeAndre mentioned, as you're doing your points and miles research, we would love it if you consider supporting the channel by using our affiliate links that provide links to the best current card offers. And don't forget to like, share, subscribe, and tell your friends. And we'll see you on the next episode.
Take care, everybody.
Thanks for tuning into the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast, brought to you by Boldly Go. Hit that follow button so you don't miss out on new episodes. For deeper insights and to level up your travel game with our strategies, book a consultation with us. Head over to www.boldlygo.world to set it up and explore more. The information covered and posted represents the views and opinions of the guest and does not necessarily represent the views or opinions of Boldly Go. The content has been made available for informational and educational purposes only. The strategies and results referenced on this site, while proven, are not guaranteed. While most who apply the principles referenced will achieve similar results, you may not yourself. Your results will vary and depend on many factors that may be in or out of your control, but include factors such as your credit score, financial status, business experience, etc. It is your responsibility to consume and implement these recommendations at your own risk. We cannot be held responsible for any failure to do so.
Luxury flights and hotels can be had for free. The world of points and miles sounds too good to be true, but it's actually real, but only if you know what you're doing.
On Frequent Miler on the Air, Greg and I, I'm Nick, discuss all the ways to earn points and miles and use them for outsized value.
Join us every Friday for our full episodes and every Tuesday for our quick single topic coffee break episodes.
See you there.